Good evening. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving. Lord God, thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon each one of us. Father, as we gather together, Lord, we pray for your presence in our midst. Father, as we think about those, oh Lord God, that are hurting within our community, within our church, Father, we lift them up to you. And in lifting them up to you, oh Lord God, we pray, oh Lord God, for peace that surpasses understanding, for wisdom, oh Lord God. Father, we lift up Pastor Keith to you. In his absence, oh Lord God, as Robert has prayed, we pray, oh Lord God, for a stirring within him. And in doing so, Lord God, that when he comes back, that we would be a people that would be obedient and follow his leadership. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to stand before this, your people, and to proclaim your word. Lord, I can't, but you can. In Jesus' name, thank God, amen. Tonight, if you have your Bible with you, would you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read a couple of verses. In this particular chapter. Title of the message tonight is The Blessings on Obedience and Curse for Disobedience. The Blessings on Obedience and Curse for Disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. If you would, skip down to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. It's not enough for a nation to just have godly leaders and godly gifted leaders. It must have godly citizens who obey the laws of the Lord. Confucius said, the strength of a nation is derived from the integrity of its home, but homes are made up of individuals. So it is the strength of individuals that help to make the home what it ought to be. We look around in our society today and we wonder what has happened to the nation in which we live. What's going on? Why is there so much going on, so much chaos? It used to be we would hear about it in other countries, but now it appears that it is at our doorstep. The nation in which we live in, we have inscribed on our money, God bless. We say that nonchalantly every day to people, God bless. We hear that even when people sneeze, we hear God bless. And at the same time, our nation seems to still be in a chaotic down spiral. The blessings of God, in which we're going to talk about tonight, are not automatically poured out upon a people. God is not a robot. He is not a mechanical being that works off of impulses and spur of the moment events without a thought or a purpose. The blessings of God are not the results of his reflex or emotions that arouse him. And he doesn't do what he do just to bless some people and not bless others. The blessings of God are not poured out discriminately, at random, in any type of chaotic form or fashion. God demands something of people, and that is obedience. God's blessings are conditional, hinging up on obedience. Many a times in our life, we want the blessings of God. We want the things of God, and we need these things. But at the same time, in wanting them, because it's conditional, and that condition is obedience, we find it hard. It goes against the flesh. You see, we have to remember that the children of Israel in this particular setting in Deuteronomy were camped on the plain of Moab. They were close by the river of Jordan, right across from the city of Jericho. They were poised to cross this particular river and possess the promised land. And Deuteronomy is a book that is centered around Moses' preaching. And Moses, at this particular time, thought it to be good to get the people for one last sermon. Moses' job had almost been completed. He had led the children of Israel from Egypt, and now they were getting ready to cross. And Moses wanted them to do something that I heard in a message this year from Brother Keith about commitment and recommitment. Moses wanted these people to recommit to the things of God and to the laws of God. All throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was trying to prepare the children of Israel. The children of Israel were, we know just from the Bible stories that they had wavered back and forth between gods. And this was a people that God chose to be his people. A people that God chose to bless. He chose to bless them. We're going to find out later why God really chose to bless the children of Israel. You see, there only remained one more thing, and that was to get them to where they needed to be by faith in obeying the voice of God. Many times in our lives, you and I both know this just from everyday living, that if we obey the laws of the land, we easily move away from getting in trouble. For instance, by this being an infant nation of people, they were in their baby state. God had just chosen them. We know that blessings and cursing, or blessings and chastisement, we do this with our own children. We go through this with our children simply because the blessings, if they obey us, will flow. But if they disobey, the cursings or the chastisement will come. And that's an easy analogy to follow when you're trying to get a child to do something that they don't want to do. Anybody that's ever raised children or grandchildren know that if you tell a child that he's going to get something if he just does what you tell him to do, if he cleans up his room, you're going to give him something. That's easy to fix. But we'll find out later on that Israel, in her thinking, looked across the fence and saw that other nations had a lot. And other nations seemed like they were blessed. And so that caused Israel a lot of times to fall back, looking across at other nations. First, we'll look at the blessings. The blessings are listed there in chapter 28. In verse 2, it says, "All these things shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." I want you to hone in on that one word in all these blessings, and that word is obey. When Moses proclaimed this message, it was a message that was saying that if you obey There was a condition for any blessing to be received from the hand of God. It was that if they obey, this was then, this was Israel. If they obey, then they would receive the blessings from the Lord. This is kind of like the Beatitudes we looked at some weeks ago in Matthew. But he says in verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. I like this because it does not make any difference where an obedient child of God is. Where an obedient child of God is, that child will be blessed. Whether he's in the city or in the country, it doesn't make any difference where he's at. As long as he is obeying God, then that child would be blessed. We can see this throughout the Bible. Whenever the children of Israel, those that obeyed the voice of the Lord, wherever they was at, in captivity or in a dungeon, I'm reminded of Jeremiah all the time. When Jeremiah was even in a dungeon, he had the blessings of the Lord upon him. Even though he was weighted down by circumstances and situations, he was blessed. If we obey God, it does not make any difference where you and I are in life. We are blessed. And there's a reason that we need to know that we are blessed. There's a reason that we need to know. And we're going to get to that. In verse 4, it says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, everything about it. In verse 5, it says, blessed shall your baskets and your kneading bowls. If a person obeys, just like Israel, the Lord was saying, everything about it is going to be fruitful. Everything that you place your hands upon, so to speak, is going to be blessed. This is only based on that one principle, if you obey. Verse 6 says, but blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. It doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference if you obey God. When you go in and when you come out, you're going to be blessed. Have you ever been in a situation where it looks like everything was crumbling around you? Everything in life, everything was going bad. Everything. And then all of a sudden, you realize in whom you had put your trust. And in whom you believe. And your spirit was calm and it was lifted simply because you obeyed the voice of God. I have the opportunity a lot of time to talk to people about certain situations that they're going through. I had a friend, he was terminated from being a general manager of a large company. And he never thought it was coming. And he was saying, I ought to do this and I ought to do that. And I said, what is God telling you to do? What is God telling you to do? He said, I believe God telling me to get him back. I said, wrong answer. Wrong answer. The battle's not yours. How is God telling you to do that? He said, but I said, that's your flesh. You're right. I want to get him back. I said, but if you want to be blessed of God, you better go to Matthew 5 and 44 and read where it tells you to bless you. To bless your enemies, to do good to them that despitefully misuse you and persecute you. I said, you better read that and you better understand what it means and you better obey it. Because if you take it upon yourself to engage in a war that's not yours, you're going to be defeated. I told him, I said, I always refer to Psalms 46:10. Be still and know. Be still and know. In the stillness, you know God is doing what he's supposed to do. Because you are obeying him. Now, as hard as it is for us to sometimes keep our hands or our nose or our mouth out of it, God still requires us to be obedient. Not just a part of his word, but all of his word. You see, when we are obedient, then God can work. When we disobey, it works against us. verse number seven, it says, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." Now, Israel had been in a lot of battles, and they had seen this happen. They had seen God fight the battle. God had numerous times delivered them. Whoever came up against them, it doesn't make any difference. They were outnumbered. If they had chariots or whatever, Israel, when they left Egypt and Pharaoh pursued them, and they questioned Moses at the Red Sea, Moses said, "Be still or stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." "Stand still, Moses? All these chariots coming? Chariots can run over people. Horses can try down people. Stand still." All they did was obey. And they saw the Lord victoriously wipe out Pharaoh's chariots. You see, even when we in a situation against flesh and blood and people, if we obey the voice of God, we're going to be victorious. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not very old, but I'm not very young. But I've been in enough battles to know that my God cannot be defeated. I have been in situations where I'm up against a corporate entity, dealing with human resource people or whatever, and all I did was stay still. And each time I tried in my own to take off this altar while I pray here and defend myself, I felt so bad because I was disobedient. The Lord said, "You gave it to me. Now why do you want to take it back?" And I would have to take my hands off it and just be still. So many people, we sit and we see other people, what they do, and we wonder, why are they engaging that? It's because they're not being obedient. They're not being obedient to the voice of God. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, we are here in society, we're in America, and we all know that we are a blessed people in comparison to other nations. We know this. We are a blessed people in comparison to other nations. This nation lends to other nations. And you're going to see that in one of these verses by which the Lord said, if you're a blessed people, you have this ability. We are a people, just as I heard Brother Keith say this morning, what would happen if the people in the church or the Christians were taken out of here? If you think it's bad, go ahead and read Revelation like he said this morning. It would be really, really bad. Verse 9 says, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways." Obedience, when you are obedient, you don't have to toot your horn. You don't have to do a lot of things you see a lot of other people trying to do to get recognition. God will establish you. God will establish you. A lot of us may have come from prominent homes or families, or may be associated with prominent people. And that's how other people know who we are. But if you are in Christ Jesus, and you his, and you've been bought with Christ, he will establish you. It doesn't make any difference if you're walking in Walmart. It doesn't make any difference if you own a job down in the hood. He will establish you. I was talking with some men the other day that was digging a trench, and there was a 220-volt electric line there. And so I got out in the hole, and I told the guy, I said, I'll watch for you while you dig. And while he was digging, I was watching closely. I wasn't going to go in the hole, because they figured it wasn't anything there. They didn't do the one call, the 8111 call. And the guy began to dig on a 336 excavator. And this thing had almost a 3-yard bucket on it. He can't see from where he's at. And when he caught that 220 line, I waved like this. And just lucky, he wasn't looking at what he was digging. He was watching me. He stopped. He pulled a line from the box almost, but he didn't turn the line. So I walked up the hill and I asked him. I said, I should ask you this before I went in that hole. Do you know Jesus? He said, why are you asking me that? I said, because you was just about to meet your maker. If you pull that line and 220 broke, he said, well, I was grounded. I said, you would be grounded. You definitely would be grounded if that machine, if what the mechanism on the machine does not work. You see, a lot of times, we don't think about witnessing outside the doors of the church. And that's what we're called to do. The evangelism conference that Keith is going to is going to probably talk much about what the church needs to do to embrace the culture. The church may have to work vigorously outside. Churches all over are looking like this church tonight, with less people in it, because of evangelism. Because their thing is nobody's telling the story. That was the theme of our Southern Baptist Convention. Tell the story. And so when people don't tell the story, other people don't know what's going on. They really don't. And when you and I neglect, I want you to know it's disobedient not to share. It is really disobedient, because that's a commandment too, for us not to share our faith and tell people about Jesus. In verse 10 it says, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. We look at people and we try to size them up. And vice versa, people look at us. And people often ask me, they don't really ask me where I work at first. That's the question I don't get much of. They ask me, are you a preacher? They don't ask me where I work at. And I dress like I'm just, most of the time, I dress like this. But I'm representing a company. People will ask me because I'm always trying to share Jesus. I'm always talking to them about the right and the wrong, the way to go. And they'll say, are you a preacher? Now, before, if I didn't say nothing, they ask me, where you work at? What kind of work you do? What kind of car you drive? You know, that's supposed to tell people who you are, because we live in that type of society. If you drive a certain kind of car, then you must make a certain amount of money. But see, long before they started trying to figure me out, the Holy Spirit already let me know that you need to share with this person. You need to talk to this person about Jesus. When I walked up out of that trench and I talked to that guy about Jesus, he looked at me. He said, yeah, I know the Lord. He lit a cigarette. He spit the tobacco. And then he said a few curse words. And I said to him, I said, if you know him, I said, if you know him, you ought to represent him. And it sounds to me like you misrepresent the one that I love. And another guy standing next to him. See, a lot of times when you start talking, you don't know if you're supposed to be witness to this one or that. But this guy here had did like one of them plowmen. He had set his ears forward. He was listening. He was looking at me at the side of my head. He was looking at me and he was saying, then he said, he looked at the guy and said, how can you be a Christian with all that coming out your mouth? He didn't say he was a Christian either. But he was looking and he was listening. That may have been the seed that Paul planted and Apollos watered, or Apollos planted and Paul watered. That may have been the seed, I don't know. But when I left there, he had something to think about, because I told him, I said, you just don't know how close you came when you reached and got that 220 line with that track hole to death. And I said, well, nothing is going to do you no good if it hadn't got to you, because electricity will kill you. And he knew that. He said that he pondered that for a while. Pondered that. He may be back next week, and I may get to share with him. But I did plant a seed, and that's important that we do that, because that's the reason God blesses us. One of the reasons. Verse 11 says, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, the increase of your goods, of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. So this blessing that Moses was talking about was going to be generational. It was going to be passed on. It was an inheritance. It took me some time to realize that land is something that don't make no more. Don't make no more land. I have just a small acreage of land. But I know they ain't making no more. And it's getting higher and harder to buy. So they're not making it no more. But Israel was going to receive something that God had promised to their fathers, which was the land flowing with milk and honey, which was an inheritance to the people. He says in verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heavens to give the rain to your land in the season. That means that God's people weren't going to have to worry about a drought because they were God's people and they were obedient. And he was going to make sure that they got enough rain to have an abundance of crops. It says, give you rain in your land, give the rain to your land in the season, and to bless all the works of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And this is simply because you are obedient and God has blessed you. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above, you shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them. Everything about Israel being blessed hinges on obedience. That was then. That's always. And that's even now. That was then. That's always. And that's even right now. In order to receive the true blessings from God, then we must be an obedient people. Well, what about the curses? If they didn't obey the law, they would be cursed. They would be cursed if they didn't obey the law. If you look back in chapter 27, you see where there are some curses pronounced on Mount Elam. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, these shall stand on the Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on the Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carven, molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands, to the craftsman, and set it up in secret. I want to focus on what the people say. All the people shall answer and say, amen. Now, each one of these curses, the people responded, amen. Now, this amen was not an agreement in a just a casual way. The people were saying, the men were to pronounce, they weren't going to say, this is what's going to happen. They were saying, Lord, do this to them. Lord, do this to them for being disobedient. And the people were saying, we agree. So be it. Now, how many times you tell your child, or you heard someone say, I'm going to whoop you if you do this. And they turn around and say, I understand. That's what the people are saying. So be it. So be it. They was agreeing that if we do wrong, we accept the condition of the covenant. Now, we can know everybody wants to be blessed. But not one time in the reading of the blessing did you hear the people say amen.
But the people agreed to what was to be done to them if they do wrong. I thought it unique that they was agreeing to what was being pronounced or said that ought to happen to them if they do wrong, and then they turn around and do wrong. But don't, before you say, no, how many people do you know said whatever when you tell them right from wrong? Y'all ever get with any grown people that said, if you tell them, I told two guys the other day on the job, I said, now if you get in a fight, you're going to get fired. I said, he pushed me. If he pushed me, I'm going to defend myself. I said, just listen to what I'm saying. If you get in a fight, you're fired. He said, well, whatever. He got in a fight, I'm fired. Just like that. So before we say, this guy agreed to the handbook, I told you, it says, if you fight, you're going home. They got into a scuffling match, and they came in contact with each other, and I had to terminate two people. It happens every day. It happens every day when you hear people say you got to die from something. You know, people doing wrong in their bodies. I was telling my wife this morning about the news was coming over my phone about they had three young ladies under 20, supposed to have been porn stars, died. 20 years old. 20 years old. Now, we as the people of God know what the Lord says about this type of stuff. But it seems that since they died this way, they were saying, like, so be it. You know, when you see people doing things with their body, in their body, and then you hear them say, well, I got to die from something. They're saying, so be it. They're agreeing that, yeah, this will kill me, but so be it. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm going to die from something. Many times, a lot of people say this thing without really thinking it through until that day comes. Until they get close and the body is racking with pain. Until that day comes. You see, the spiritual leader would read these curses. They were not predicting. This was not a prediction of what would happen. This is what was going to happen. It was being said, God, do this to them if they disobey. And they knew that. They were calling upon God to send a curse upon these people. These leaders were, if they turn away from him. And when the people said amen, they were just saying, so be it. They were telling God, Lord, yeah, we hear you. We agree. All throughout these cursings, the people agreed to it. I've never been in a situation where I have said to within myself or even broken to somebody, I'm going to drive fast. If I die, I die. No, I listen. I have to obey. I told this story before about when I used to drive and speed all the time, and I got stopped, and I told me, said, Mr. Gary, we don't really want your money. But you're going to drive right on our highway. You're going to obey the law. You are going to obey the law. He said, your privileges will be taken. He got my attention. He really got my attention then. And said, Patsy don't work at school no more. She don't know how fast I drive. Because she was a tattletale. But we need to obey. We need to obey. You see, our agreement cannot be just a sober agreement. It needs to be one or a couple. When we enter into a covenant with the Lord, it needs to be a lasting covenant, one that we're going to really commit to. And you know, when you look out here in our world, you see a lot of people seem like blessed. And it was the same way in the Bible. Look over there at Psalms 73. Psalm 73 says, truly God is good to Israel, to such a pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My step had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw prosperity of the wicked. For there are no plagues, no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like garments. What Ash is saying is, the wicked seem to be blessed. Now, it didn't take Israel long to realize that other people were blessed. It didn't take them long. You know, we don't like that sometimes. We wonder why come some people can ride around in certain type of cars and why they can live in certain type of houses. But God realized that Israel, in her youthful state, in her thinking, saying, you know what? They got Ash and they got Baal and they got this and they got that and they got this. And then he had to gradually teach Israel to move away from the principle of blessings and the receiving of blessings through was more than just you're going to get this because you do right. It had something to do with obeying me wholly. It had to do with obeying the Lord, whether you were in Rome or whether you was in Lexington City, you still need to obey the Lord. And everything hinges on that. Why does God want us to be an obedient people? Why does he want us to be an obedient people? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may, here it is, proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now you can read something similar to that in back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you up high above all nations of the earth. The major reason God blesses obedient people is to advertise what he has did through his son Jesus. We ought to take, or we ought to think about and take the blessings that God gives us and use them for the glory of his kingdom and his kingdom alone. No other reason that God just didn't bless me with what I had so I could be comfortable and keep a closed mind. God wants other people to know that he is a blessing God to them that obey. Every day somebody's looking at you to see if you are obedient to what you say you are. And if you say you are a Christian, if you say you believe in Jesus, that belief is going to have to be shown forth in daily living. That obedience is going to have to be shown forth in daily living. God does not bless us for our budget just to be what it is. He doesn't do that. He doesn't bless us with good jobs just to say we got a good job. So selfishly, we have to really advertise who he is and what he's done. And we can't do that just by saying nothing. We can't do it like that. God blesses obedient people so obedient people can be a blessing to other people. And in return, those people will come to know the God that blesses. They will come to know him in a right relationship. They will come to know him as being real, as being Jehovah Jireh, a provider. They will come to know him in the pardon of their sins.
This nation that God established was the point you and I, Gentiles, I don't think we got any Jews in him, but you and I, Gentiles, to him. And if we have accepted him, it's our responsibility to point others to him. Mind you about the person. Matthew 28 speaks about going and doing.
Now, if it's a command, and we ought to obey all the commands, then we ought to be going and doing and sharing and using the blessings of God to further the kingdom of God. I know that I'm blessed. I know I'm blessed. I hear a lot of people say this, but I know I'm blessed. But I know I'm blessed for the purpose of advertising, exemplifying, glorifying, magnifying my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God saved me, and when he called me, I knew I was blessed, and I knew I was blessed for a purpose. And just like you were sitting here, if you were saved, God saved you. It's a blessing to be saved. But he didn't save you to sit, sorrow, and suffer. God saved you with a purpose in mind. And that purpose is to show forth his marvelous works as a blessed people. It ought to be when we go out or when we come in that other people ought to know that we are the people of God, and his blessings are like radiant sunshine in each one of our lives. It does not make any difference how old you are. It does not make any difference how young you are. But when you've been with Jesus, you're just like Peter. You can deny it all you want, but your speech, if you talk in, is going to betray you. Your actions are going to say something if you've been with Jesus. Your life is going to shine forth. Every Monday night, I go into a place at Holmes Correction Facility down here. I get asked this question all the time. How much they paying you? How much they paying you? I don't make a dime, and I don't want a dime. I count it as a privilege because I've been blessed to go there. And that's the reason many of the deacons heard me say in a deacon's meeting, I can't shrink back from preaching the gospel. I owe it all to him. He blessed me with it. So I need to tell somebody else about it. Church, let us not be cursed for being disobedient. For the commandment and the charge is ours. Don't shrink back from telling people about Jesus because you are part of this holy nation, royal priesthood. You are a Christian. You are the people of God. And people need to know more than your name. They need to know the name of the one in whom you have trusted and whom you obey. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these that have came, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, that as your word has gone forth, because it has burdened me. And Lord, not often do I say this, but my wife knows this. I'm burdened when I have to preach because I don't know how to do anything except be obedient to you when you said preach. Lord, I'm glad that you can and I can. And that is saved, O Lord God. Father, if people are going to be saved, if lives are going to be changed, it is going to be through the people that be obedient to what you've already commissioned us to do as a church and as individual. O Lord God, let us see lives changed. Souls set free, people delivered, and Lord, let us see the flourishing of the church from the outside in. For we are here in smaller numbers, but when we go out, oh Lord God, realizing that we're going to be blessed because we are obedient, help us to do that, oh Lord God. And Father, we as your people this week will be careful to give you honor, glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, thank God, amen.